hearty Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Welcome to a special Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Brazil will host Germany in Saturday's Olympic men's football final at Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. In semifinal action Wednesday, Brazil routed Honduras 6-0, while Germany beat Nigeria 2-0. Barcelona star Neymar scored 2 goals and set up 2 more in Brazil's big victory over Honduras at Maracanã. In the words of Brazil's head coach, Rogério Micali, Neymar absolutely delights everyone with his talent. Meanwhile, in Sao Paulo, the Germans got goals in the 9th minute from Lucas Klostermann and in the 89th minute from Nils Petersen to defeat the Nigerians. The 27-year-old Petersen is one of 3 overage 23 players allowed on Olympic rosters during the men's tournament. He and the Germans will be facing a highly motivated Brazilian squad on Saturday. Though Brazil has won 5 World Cups at the senior level, the Brazilians have never won Olympic gold in men's football. I'm sure many Brazilian football fans also wince when they think about the humiliating 7-1 loss to the Germans 2 years ago in the semifinals of the World Cup. As for German fans, they were in a pretty good mood after the victory over Nigeria.
Super Deutschland, Super Deutschland, hey, hey, hey!
We're going to play on Saturday against Brazil, and it's not going to be easy, but I think we can win. Not like the 7-1, but 3-1 is good.
While the German fans look forward to Saturday's final against Brazil, Nigerian fan Paul says he's very disappointed in his team's performance in Sao Paulo.
We didn't play well. I'm not impressed with what they played. It's not good. I don't like it. I take my money. I spend my time. I come here. I get rubbish.
I'm not happy at all.
Can you see my face?
In Olympic track and field, Team USA has a lot to be happy about in recent races. American Karen Clement won the gold medal Thursday in the men's 400-meter hurdles, clocking 47.73 seconds. Boniface Tumuti of Kenya won the silver, and Yasmani Capello of Turkey won the bronze. On Wednesday night in Rio, Americans swept the medals in the women's 100-meter hurdles. Brianna Rollins won the gold in 12.48 seconds. Nia Ali won the silver, and Christy Catlin won the bronze. The USA also won gold and silver in the women's long jump. Tiana Bartoletta set a personal best of 7.17 meters with her gold medal-winning leap. Brittany Reese of the USA won the silver, and Ivana Spanovic of Serbia set a national record of 7.08 meters in winning the bronze. And let's give Sunny Side of Sports Olympic shout-outs for 2 more gold medal winners on Wednesday. Conseslus Kipruto of Kenya won gold in the men's 3,000-meter steeplechase with an Olympic record time of 8 minutes, 3.28 seconds. And Elaine Thompson of Jamaica won her 2nd gold medal at Rio 2016. She clocked 21.78 seconds to win the women's 200 meters. Elaine also won gold in the women's 100-meter dash. Elsewhere, if you look at the roster of track and field athletes at Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, a suburb of Nashville in the south-central United States, you'll notice there are more Africans than Americans. And 2 athletes who attend the school from Ghana are competing at the Rio Olympics. VOA's Park Brewer caught up with them at the Athletes' Village.
Besides sprinter Janet Amponsa and javelin thrower John Ampona, one of their assistant coaches at Middle Tennessee State, their fellow Ghanaian Andrew Owusu, is also here in Rio helping coach Ghana's athletics team. Owusu said legendary Middle Tennessee head coach Dean Hayes, who is now 77, has a history of recruiting African athletes that dates back to the mid-1970s.
I've had a little bit of criticism of folks say, oh, why Middle Tennessee? Why, how come you have about four Ghanaian athletes there and, you know, more are trying to come there? And I said, well, because we care about them. You know, we care about them beyond sports.
Amponsa ran in the women's 200 meters Monday and was disappointed with her performance. But Owusu told her that his first Olympic experience in 1996 at the Atlanta Games had not gone well either. She fortunately will have another chance in Rio because Amponsa will run on Ghana's 4x100-meter relay team on Thursday. It is ranked in the top eight of all the entries at the Rio Summer Games. Amponsa told VOA just being at the Olympics is special.
It's a very big achievement for me because it's not everybody in the world who would get this platform to be here. So even if when you come here and you didn't achieve whatever that you wanted to do, it gives you another chance for you to have the experience.
Teammate Amponsa told VOA, though he is proud of the great strides he has made, he is anxious to get his career to the next level.
Sometimes I get disappointed, but when I look back, last 4 years, the distances that I'm throwing compared to now, even though I haven't won any major international or any big championship yet, I still like, if I give myself another five more years to go, I have a long way to go.
He added that sometimes sports is not all about winning, because not everybody can win. It's about being there and giving your best all the time. Park Brewer, VOA News at the Rio Olympics.
Joining us once again from Rio is our friend Luis Piazzi. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. The biggest event on Earth taking place in Rio as we speak has already set standards to be followed or avoided completely in the next chapters, party and lies. The big question is what the key decision makers will do next. In the meantime, the international media asks, between the lines, what would Ryan Lochte do? The lies comes from the projection of the CEO of Rio's 2016, just weeks before the games, that the event was already a financial success. It now will take an aid from the city and federal government of over $200 million. And while on the last Monday the headline splashed that American gold medalist Ryan Lochte was robbed at a gunpoint, the mayor and Rio's 2016 organizers publicly and pathetically apologized. Within less than 24 hours, the story told by Lochte and his colleagues about the incident became known as a false due to so many contradictions in their reports. The reality show that Ryan Lochte once had in the States became then a Hollywoodian story.
I'm a lot different than any other kind of Olympian. I mean, when you think of Olympian, you think of they eat, they train, they sleep. That's all they do. With me, that's definitely not the case. I mean, there's so much more to me than swimming. And I like to go out and have fun, like to go dancing, hang out with my friends. I like doing fun stuff like playing basketball, skateboarding, hanging out with my family, which is like the biggest part of my life.
That he is a great swimmer, we all know. He hangs down his neck many gold medals. But he also is great at attracting media attention. Now he's attracting the attention of the justice system, as his father and his youngest brother. They both were arrested years ago, the father for driving under influence and the brother for selling drugs to a police informant in Florida. Now, until Ryan Lochte explains exactly how he was robbed in Rio, he's facing up to 3 years jail in Brazil. And his colleagues, currently prohibited to leave Rio back to the United States, also facing conviction. As paradoxical as it can be, three Americans are facing prison due to a false robbery report in the city, proved to be one of the top places on Earth where to be robbed is a commonplace. While all this Ryan's crime action episode was developing, two Great Britain Olympic athletes were truly assaulted at a gunpoint in Rio's downtown. Case confirmed by the Great Britain Olympic delegation and authorities. This reporter has the unfortunate privilege to witness of how much common robbery is in the streets, not only Rio, but in the whole country. The organizers of Rio 2016 Games already started to run a balance of the show. A couple of figures. On the last Tuesday, above 250 entries in Rio's health emergency centers were reported, all related to skin infection, queasiness, or excess of alcohol ingestion. On the same day, more than 240 tons of solid waste were taken from the Olympic venues, left behind by spectators, workers, and athletes. There is a popular carioca character called Renato Sorriso, or free translation, Renato Smile. He was a street sweeper and won notoriety dancing while sweeping the Sambódromo after the carnival parade decades ago. Now, contrary to the surprise of the open ceremony, the organizers unveiled some attractions of the closing show of Rio 2016 next Sunday. Renato will perform his sweep street samba steps, and the first Brazilian to get notoriety in Hollywood, Carmen Miranda, will be part of the team.
Dorme, filhinho, do meu coração. Pega a mamadeira e vem entrar no meu cordão. Que eu tenho uma irmã.
I'm Luiz Piazzi, for the sunny side of sports in Rio de Janeiro.
Obrigado, Luiz. The late, great Carmen Miranda is part of Brazil's rich cultural heritage. With that in mind, VOA's Jeff Swicord takes us from the beaches to the nightlife of Rio to give you a taste of what this diverse city has to offer the Olympic visitor.
What is there to do in between sporting events in Rio de Janeiro? A lot. You are in one of the most exotic cities in the world. First, you can head out to world-famous Copacabana Beach for a stroll along the surf and the incredible view. Or kick a soccer ball around with friends. The more adventurous can jump into a pickup volleyball game on the sand. Hungry? You can always have lunch in one of the many cafes along the promenade and soak in some live entertainment. Of course, there is always shopping on the beach. The salesmen come to you. Vince Corten and his family are from Belgium. They were here during the World Cup 2 years ago and were so impressed they decided to come back for the Olympics.
Rio is a fantastic city. Of course, we have the Olympics, but you have fantastic bars, restaurants, music, meeting people, and for the time being, so international, so we love it.
At night is when Rio de Janeiro really comes alive. For the nightlife, you head to Lapa, the old Portuguese quarter of town, full of bars and music venues of all kinds. The 18th century aqueduct, one of the city's landmarks, was built to carry water from the Carioca River to Santa Teresa in the hills. Today, it is a cable car bridge. Tonight, the party spills out into the streets as fans watch a soccer match. Brown is a Brazilian-American from Miami.
You know, everyone's just so happy and so cheerful and seeing people from all over the world, you know, like uniting and being friends and partying together and just, you know, exploring everything.
After the match, a night on the town would not be complete without a taste of authentic Brazilian samba. And for that, you head to Carioca de Gema, where the music is hot, the crowd is hotter. Whatever your tastes or desires, the Rio Olympics has a lot more to offer than sports on the court, pitch, and in the pool. Chris Whitewood, VOA News, Rio de Janeiro.
I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining me now to talk about social media trends at the Rio Olympics is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Sporty Olympic greetings, Doug.
Olympic greetings to you, Sonny. And, you know, if I knew I had to come in here to hear Carmen Miranda, I would have been in here much earlier.
That was a treat, wasn't
it? That was a treat for me.
Doug, what's trending in Rio?
A lot of things are trending, and a lot of things that really don't have much to relate in terms of the actual competition, the scores, who's medaling, that kind of thing. So obviously, story number one today down in Rio and around the world is just what happened with Ryan Lochte and his three fellow American swimmers a few days ago. Now, the story as initially it sort of dribbled out. It actually first, remember, it dribbled out. Ryan Lochte's mother was the first source of this story. She gave an interview, and that's how it kind of turned into this. The four say that they were arrested. The stories have changed a little bit. And then, of course, today, I think, as your listeners have heard, just to kind of give the background, two of the American swimmers, Gunnar Bentz and Jack Conger, were on the plane to head back to the United States, and they were removed from the plane by Brazilian police authorities. Now, both have been questioned, and they are remaining in Rio, as is Jimmy Feigen, who is the third swimmer along on this evening. And Ryan Lochte. Ryan Lochte, of course, left Tuesday evening. He was always scheduled to leave. He's back here in North Carolina. So the big questions are, what exactly happened? I think we're going to learn that clearly. I bet you by tomorrow we're going to know what's happening. But this is trending. And unfortunately, one of the trends right now is the hashtag Lion Ryan. Lion Ryan. This is sort of how social media works. So there are those who believe what Ryan Lochte had to say, that they were held up at gunpoint. There are others that are not so sure. Among those are those using this hashtag. So just a couple examples. Billy Elvis, at Billy Elvis, he says, I suppose hashtag Lion Ryan Lochte wishes he still simply in Michael Phelps' shadow at this point.
That's a good one.
Here's Twitter. It's another tweet. Twitterverse referring to Ryan Lochte as hashtag Lion Ryan. Think we'll all be drowning in hashtags before this Rio 26 robbery caper is all settled. I'll give him that. One tweet from an American comedian. If he's found, I have to explain this maybe. If he's found to be lying, will Ryan Lochte get jail time? Now, you remember he was trying to trademark this quote, J-E-A-H-J or whatever, so they just sort of added jail onto that. Finally, last one on this one, Greg Wyshynski, who's the editor of Puck Daddy over at Yahoo Sports, said, seriously, if Ryan Lochte was going to make up a story about getting robbed, it would have involved, and then I saved everyone with ninja moves, you guys.
Doug, it sounds like right now Ryan Lochte needs both a very good PR agent and a pretty good lawyer.
Yes. So you're exactly right on both accounts. And I imagine if he doesn't have both, he's getting them right now. So the three American swimmers remain in Rio. The Brazilian authorities haven't said yet what's going to happen. There's talk about, well, maybe charges might be filed. The charges would be along the lines of false statements to police or police authorities. That's really questionable. I think, you know, these young guys, you know, gosh, if I were 19, 20, even if I were an Olympian athlete, I would think I would be sort of half scared out of my wits. So I think we're going to sort of know. Brazilian authorities say we expect to hear more later in the day on this. Now, so that story, however, is just one of the stories going around about perhaps, you know, misdeeds at the Olympics. Another one actually is a bit of a sad story. It involves the French pole vaulter Renaud Lavillenay. So he competed on Tuesday. He's a pole vaulter. He was competing against Brazilian Thiago da Silva. Da Silva won.
Local favorite.
And of course, you know the Rio stadiums have been cheering on their, you know, their local hometown. That's to be expected anywhere. But unfortunately, during Lavillenay's last pole vault, the crowd booed him. And then, now he won the silver. And then during the medal ceremony, when the judge announced, you know, Renaud Lavillenay, and he stepped up, there was a loud chorus of boos going on throughout the stadium, so much so that Lavillenay was actually moved to tears. Was really, really upset, as to be expected, anybody being booed in this moment of victory. Now, I don't read a lot of French, but there's a lot of people talking about this on social media. They're using very often the hashtag Esprit Bleu, sort of spirit blue, for, you know, for the sort of the tricolore of France. And one word I'm finding a lot is incroyable. That's about as French as I can get. But I can say that Marlon Devenish has tweeted, you know, if you're taking drugs or show bad sportsmanship and get booed, deal with it. But never boo an athlete with the pedigree of La Villene. And, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of saying the same thing. Boy, you know, sort of bad sportsmanship, Brazil. But, you know, fans will be fans. One last quote on this one. Another saying tweeting at La Villene, I'm sure you're going to get a warmer welcome back home. That's pretty much guaranteed.
Nice, nice. Yeah. What else is trending in Rio, Doug?
So, several things. A bit of another story of perhaps a sort of a news story, and then one really kind of a lighthearted story. So here's the news, and you may have mentioned this before, but the AIBA, which is the federation that oversees Olympic boxing, has removed several of their judges from Rio. Now, they're not saying for which calls. They say there were questionable calls in this Olympics. The federation is not saying which calls were questionable, and they're also not saying which judges were removed, but they are saying, quote, a handful of the decisions were not at the level expected.
Mm.
Well, that sounds sort of like, you know, kind of lawyering up a little bit there. But so now here, there's been a lot of talk about this, especially with regard to a fight that we saw a little bit earlier this week, a bantamweight fight between Ireland's Michael Conlon and Russia's Vladimir Nikitin. Now, this was, gosh, I think this was Tuesday. Pardon me. Conlon and Nikitin had it was a brutal round. They both really kind of pummeled each other. But at the end, Nikitin was awarded the gold. He was declared the victor. And Conlon and the crowd were very upset with this. Conlon let it know very vocally. He cursed at the judges. He made several obscene gestures just right up there in the boxing ring, basically just calling the whole sport and its governing committee crooked. Now, on top of this, on Monday, the crowd again booed and jeered when another Russian fighter, this one, Yevgeny Tishenko, was awarded a unanimous decision over a Vasily Levitt, I believe, of Kazakhstan. I believe that's how it's pronounced. And again, Levitt looked like he had won the bout handily. So people were just thinking, what's going on here? Now, there are a variety of hashtags about this, but many people are just tweeting directly at, and it's at Mick Conlon 11. That's Michael Conlon's Twitter address if you want to see some of the dialogue and discussion that's going on there. Lots of tweets of support, including from Irish political leaders, Irish actors, Irish figures of all sorts. So people really seem to be rallying around Michael Conlon. And for his part, he just tweeted out a picture of him and his wife and his child on the Brazilian beach relaxing with the quote, life is a beach. So,
Doug, I understand a couple of Irish rowers are also trending.
You know, from Ireland back to Ireland. So this segues into, I think, probably one of the more viral moments of this Olympics. So Irish brothers, Gary and Paul O'Donovan, they're rowers. Brothers, they won the silver in this Olympics. They weren't favored. They came back. Now, they did say recently that the Irish boxer, Michael Conlon, before all of them kind of came to Rio, he said that he would box their heads off if we didn't get gold. Well, they didn't get gold. They got silver. But what they really gave us, I think, was gold. They gave an interview with RTE. That's the Irish national broadcaster. And they were just deliriously happy. And completely authentic. These, I mean, to the degree that you could understand the brogue, you know, through the brogue, the brothers talking in detail, kind of kidding each other about the drug tests, and it was saucy and it was spicy and it was authentic, and it was one of those things. I think one of those moments. Where, and you could tell, by the way, that the anchors were just loving this. They were going to let these guys go on. It's all over the net. You just search for the O'Donovan brothers. But I think one of the more refreshing things about this to end is that, you know, we hear so often sort of the scripted athletes, the scripted responses.
Exactly.
Everybody's practiced and has it down. These guys were just not that and so authentic.
The unscripted, authentic Doug Bernard. Thank you, Doug.
Anytime.
And we'll be back on Friday. Doug will be back on Friday with more social media trends from Rio. And that wraps up the August 18th Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
A roadmap agreement aimed at forging a path for the parties to engage in political negotiation, leading to ending hostilities and achieving broader political reconciliation in Sudan through a national dialogue, was signed by members of the Sudan Call Alliance of opposition groups. Signatories to the roadmap agreement include the Justice and Equality Movement Jibril, the Sudan Liberation Movement Mini Manawi, the Sudan People's Liberation Movement North, and the National Umma Party. The U.S., U.K., Norway, Germany, and the European Union welcomed the signing of the roadmap agreement, saying it constitutes a valuable step towards ending the wars in Sudan. We urge the signatories to lose no further time in agreeing to a cessation of hostilities and modalities for humanitarian access in Darfur and the two areas. The U.S. and its allies also commended the government of Sudan for signing the agreement on March 16th. The resumption of intensified fighting in 2011 between the Sudanese Army and Sudan People Liberation Movement North in the southern regions of Kordofan and Blue Nile was a remnant of the civil war between the SPLM-A and the central government of Khartoum, and reflects the lack of implementation of the comprehensive peace agreement before and after South Sudan declared independence. The conflict in Darfur began in 2003, when ethnic tribes took up arms against the central government of Khartoum to protest against political, economic, and social ethnic marginalization. The roadmap agreement marks the first time Sudan's political and armed opposition groups jointly signed a deal with the government since fighting broke out in 2011. The accord lays out the process for a permanent ceasefire, the mechanism for the opposition to participate in a national dialogue with the government, and includes provisions for negotiating an immediate humanitarian aid. The United States and its partners encourage opposition parties in Sudan to seize this opportunity to come together through a process of dialogue to achieve a political settlement addressing the challenges that continue to face their people. Likewise, the government of Sudan should take all steps necessary to ensure a conducive environment for peace to succeed.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Know the political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
NATO C.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.